Welcome into the Husker 24/7 podcast. I'm Mike Schaefer, joined by Brian Christofferson, Michael Brunts. It is a gloomy Wednesday here in Lincoln. Gentlemen, how are you doing?
It's a good day if you're in a police chase to get away from the cops. They might lose you in the grayness.
I really wish that some of our best conversations are never recorded. Brunts giving his tips as to how someone should be able to escape in a high-speed chase based on his...
Go downtown.
It now feels like years of just watching these things. Like, do you have like a search set up on Twitter so you know when these chases are?
No, there's a Twitter account that when there's a police chase being broadcast anywhere in this country, sends out an alert. I have it I get pinged on my phone, and then if I want to, I open up the... Depending on what's going on, usually nothing. I watch a little bit. Today, for example, guy in Florida steals a car, ditches the car, gets on a motorcycle, and then continues the chase.
So you could be at like a formal dinner. Ping.
Yeah.
It's like, excuse me.
Yeah.
I just got to step out.
I need to get
out
up from the table.
I got to step out
for a
few minutes.
I
got to
check this out.
Yeah.
Do you have like a top three favorite chases of all? Like, is there a most notable chase that you can think of?
Well, OJ.
Well, okay. You don't get to use OJ.
No, there's not. But to give you an example of how I'm not the only person that does this.
So no one said you were.
I know, but I feel like you guys are chase shaming me.
No one is chase shaming.
So,
I mean, we're just not part of the chase culture.
There's a Facebook broadcast of a police chase in California. It's a guy on a motorcycle. For some reason, they're always on motorcycles. There's like 19,000 people watching it on Facebook at one time. Like people from Michigan, like it's an interesting subset of American culture watching police chases at like 11 o'clock at night.
I think my favorite part of that is that Michigan was the random place that you chose to illustrate.
A guy like
there's people from Michigan.
A guy
Brian,
on Facebook,
Michigan, as if Nebraska isn't weirder.
The guy goes checking in from Detroit. It's like 12:30 in the morning there.
So it's like one of the Facebook videos we do after a game.
Yeah.
GBR from Houston.
GBR from New Mexico.
Oh, man. That's great.
So, yeah, but apparently this particular chase, the guy ditched the motorcycle and they were looking for him in a forest. Admit, though, whenever I pulled it up on the screen, you were transfixed.
I was watching.
Yeah.
I never know when this stuff is going on. It's like when the llamas escaped and were like really losing their mind over it. And I came to it late. I tend to... Like the stuff that blows up on the internet, I tend to
you're
not.
Like me with TV shows.
Yeah, it seems that way.
Yeah.
Like I'm out. I didn't, it's not that I want to be out on it. I don't even know what's going on.
That's fair. So, Brian, what's up?
Yeah, Brian.
I have nothing to add. I told you guys I used to dream about being in a police chase and a stolen car and getting away, and I would be very happy with myself in the morning when I woke up.
They apparently arrested the guy in the forest, by the way.
Update.
Just got an update.
Very nice. Is that a Hurricanes hat that you are currently wearing?
Yeah, it is. Carolina Hurricanes. I'm a longtime fan, as you know.
I was just checking.
Did you like them when they were the Whalers?
Yeah, I briefly know that they were the Whalers, and I just got this hat because I kind of like the logo, not because I just jumped on the bandwagon. I got this hat prior to the Stanley Cup playoff run.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Brunts, how much Whalers gear do you have sitting in a shopping cart on the internet that you haven't?
Well, that's the one purchase I've made was that Whalers hat. I've got some minor league baseball hats sitting in a cart.
Oh man! All right, we're 4 minutes in. I'm going to pull this into to Nebraska a little bit. So, where Nebraska sits right now in 2019 in the Big Ten West, I think is one of the more interesting off-season conversations you can have. And Brunch, you posted on the message board yesterday asking people to provide their power rankings of the Big Ten West. And I was curious, kind of reading through those, what people were thinking. And this is a conversation that I had just had yesterday with Alan True. And just he feels, and I agree, and this is something that I'm curious where you guys are at, that the middle of the Big Ten has probably never been deeper. In terms of you have a lot of programs that are capable of beating the teams in the upper echelon, if they stumble a little bit, whereas before, if you did, maybe you weren't winning by 21, you're only winning by 7. But now, I mean, you got teams like Minnesota, Purdue that are claiming scalps that weren't necessarily doing that in the past. Do you guys see that in the same way that Allen does, and I guess that I do, where the Big Ten is deeper now and it's a little bit more dangerous when you're trying to project season records?
Yeah, there's no question that like teams 3 through 6 are much better and could be teams 1 and 2 this year. I mean, like, Minnesota's to me the best example. Like, halfway through the season last year, I was like, yeah, kind of making PJ Fleck jokes about him sprinting down the sideline and all this stuff. Then in November, after they got humbled by Nebraska, they switched D coordinators. And they
were a different team.
Yeah, they found themselves, and they laid it on Wisconsin, who was laboring to the finish line.
They laid it on Purdue.
Yep, and had a good bowl game. Yep. And so now, I mean, they think they can win the West just as much as Nebraska does, and Purdue thinks they can win the West. The only team I don't think thinks they can win the West is Illinois, probably. So that's where we're at.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And they just got a grad transfer quarterback from USC, right? Fink.
Did he commit there?
I believe so.
So they're out of the Tommy Stevens sweepstakes?
Well, old Tommy's taking other visits, I guess.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, it's an interesting conversation because this time of year, I always look at the quarterbacks, like who has a returning quarterback, because I think that's such a big piece and kind of just a, you know, you're starting from a higher floor, I guess, in terms of what you can be in a particular year. I mean, it's hard to imagine that, you know, 2 years ago, if you would have said, okay, the trending programs in the Big Ten West are going to be Purdue, Minnesota, and Wisconsin's going to be the team that everybody's a little bit out on. I don't think I probably would have agreed with that then. But, I mean, that's when you have teams like Purdue really throwing money into guys like Jeff Brohm, I think it's going to be a lot harder to win in the Big Ten West, and you're going to see more even records, but for different reasons than maybe what it's been in the past. I mean, before it was like, who do you play in the East? And now it's like, you know, it just feels like some of these teams are going to beat up on each other.
I feel like the most dangerous thing going on right now this offseason with the Big Ten West talk is pushing Wisconsin to the side, just because they had kind of a down year, and I know they got to replace like their whole offensive line, but that hasn't stopped them in previous years from doing just that and being fine. And so I don't know which way they're going to go, but they should be better at quarterback than they've been in the past. And I think people should be careful to kind of push them to the back.
It's a big limb you're stepping on saying that they're going to be better than Alex Hornibrook, former Orange Bowl MVP.
I was just like setting it on a tee so you could talk about Alex Hornibrook.
I've decided the other day that I've got to just move on from Alex Hornibrook. Just the less I talk about him, the
better. Like one of those life goals. You made like four or five really important life goals, and like three was less talk about Alex Hornibrook.
Yeah, and it needs to happen. So we'll move on from that. But I'm with you. I've noticed this from Nebraska fans when I've been in this discussion that feels like they've either forgotten or have kind of moved past the idea that the West still kind of runs through Wisconsin. I mean, Graham Mertz, the quarterback that they have in this upcoming class, looks like he's very much the real deal, or this previous class, I should say, and he's going to be battling Jack Cohn for that job. I mean, if you put a legitimate quarterback on some of those Wisconsin teams of recent years, you might be talking about them being in the college football playoff the year that they were undefeated and lost in a relatively close game to Ohio State. So I think that Wisconsin still, with their defense, they're still going to be tough to deal with there. They still have an offense that Nebraska has yet to figure out since they've transitioned into the Big Ten, really. And until Nebraska starts to beat the Wisconsins and the Iowas, I have a tough time moving either of those teams to the side. It's more so that I think Nebraska's challenge is that they can't fall behind Minnesota, Purdue as well. I mean, I think those teams have raised their game as much as Nebraska has.
It's funny looking at Iowa too. I mean, they've got a returning starting quarterback, one of the better ones that they've had in program history, at least statistically. And they potentially have two top 10 draft picks on that roster still for next year in Epineza and Tristan Wirfs. So, you know, it's, I mean, Kirk Ferentz is going to be, you know, he's going to win his eight games, but I mean, they've got some guys that they can build around. I mean, they obviously have to replace two big pieces of their offense at the tight end spot, but it's not like the cupboard's, you know, exactly bare there. I mean, that, we were talking last time. I mean, when Nebraska's last first round draft pick was, and I was going to have four probably in the span of 2 years.
Yeah, that's pretty remarkable considering that they didn't do enough with it last year. I mean, they had a better team than how really their season finished out. Here's what's funny. We've talked about the Big Ten West now for about 5 minutes. Nobody's mentioned Northwestern. They won it last year somehow. Some way, somehow. That team won the Big Ten West. And yet, if you were to ask me, I think I'd rank them six going into this year of the seven teams in the Big Ten West.
That's because they live on such a fine line. Like
their margin for error is very small.
Year. Yeah. And they're a smart team that usually doesn't beat itself, and they find a way to win a lot of 20 to 17 games. But when
35-31.
Yes, but you kind of look at it, or and
34,
you,
whatever it was,
and you say the law of averages is going to flip that, and I think that's what most people say. But what, they're going to go with Hunter Johnson? Is he going to be the guy?
Yeah, I believe that's the case
at QB. So, I mean, that's kind of exciting.
Well, they put QBs in the league. Clayton Thorson got picked.
I put the Clayton Thorson. I put them. I made some sock listings post spring, and I have Northwestern as those sports socks with the two stripes on them, with bikey shorts. They're like those socks, but they feel good about how they look in them. That's Northwestern, I think, coming out of the spring. You know, like a guy from 1977 who just like steps out and is like, I look good in these two striped socks. That's Northwestern.
A guy who might have coached some baseball in like the 1980s.
He probably coached multiple sports at the school, yes.
So Northwestern, here's their schedule to start the year, and it is brutal. So they go to Stanford to start, then they get UNLV at home, then they get Michigan State at home, at Wisconsin, at Nebraska, Ohio State at home, Iowa at home. Like, that's a pretty tough go when you're, you know, starting a new quarterback who's talented for sure. But, I mean, it's going to test them. And as, like you said, that margin for error being what it is. I mean, that's I guess you get a bye week between Nebraska and Ohio State, but still.
Pat Fitzgerald has one of the best jobs in football to me. And I always laugh when people are like, oh, he should move or do this and that. Why? He gets to scratch his competitive itch, and he gets to coach at a school where, with a schedule like that, if you're coaching at a Nebraska or Ohio State or someplace and you start 2-3 or whatever, you're dealing with noise and kind of a what's happening, sky is falling type feeling. At Northwestern, you just work in silence, and it's got to be beautiful. Like, you can go through those stretches and not have everything else that everybody else is saying impact your program at all. And so I think it's a huge advantage they have.
And he's proven that, I mean, they were able to go and win a division title there. I mean, he's yep. had success. Like, it's not that he's just living and dying on, you know, 7-5 seasons by any means. So you're right. I mean, he does have a pretty plum gig. And, I mean, he's paid pretty well, too.
Do you have any other socks that you've thought about?
Yeah, I did some sock talk, because we hadn't done it in a while, and we felt like after the spring we needed to dive into that.
Do we want to open this up to the Big Ten East? Because I got a couple questions there,
I didn't
too.
Think about those socks, but okay. I can.
Okay.
I can.
Well, let's get to your Big Ten West socks first, and then we'll talk about the East.
And this is up for debate. Socks, I mean, just because I say these are their socks, I want to hear what you say. But
everybody considers all the same socks to be stylish or good. So
I think I like wool socks. Like, I do. Ever since I went to Viking Seahawks playoff game when it was below zero weather. I wore double wool socks, and so now I just wear them around the house all the time. I feel like Wisconsin is a dependable pair of wool socks that still, even after with offensive line changes and a rough season, they feel good wearing them around the house. But now they're going to try to go out and go to Hy-Vee with some wool socks and some $100 sneakers on. And how that's going to work, I don't know. But they're going to feel comfortable in it no matter what anybody thinks about it. That's what I got them as.
So okay. Basically the gist here is Wisconsin feels comfortable with what it's wearing and what it's doing regardless of how other people might judge it.
Yeah, like their wool socks are pulled up and they're wearing shorts so you can see them. It's not hidden under pants. And
they just got like an armful of brats and
yeah.
Some beer cheese. And
there's like a college girl in aisle four is like looking at them like, I don't know. But they don't care, you know.
What about Minnesota?
I think they're just like, you know the kid in high school who like had those...
Tries
like,
too hard?
Way too color, like they'd wear to a Friday night basketball game where they're like really colorful socks and like, look at me, I'm wearing a cape also, you know, sort of thing. That's Minnesota.
People in Omaha North wore capes?
Maybe, I don't know. Okay. I know that some people do in high school basketball games, but you know, like... The guy in the student section who's maybe a little too into it. And obviously I'm thinking of PJ Fleck as I'm thinking about these socks. But and yet their personality, it might work. I don't know. There might be somebody who says I'm okay with that. Because I'm starting to come around on Fleck a little bit that he might not be a complete failure there.
So one of those things where if you squint and turn your head enough, you can kind of see and it makes sense a little bit.
You're like, you kind of admire the person wearing those colorful socks and the cape because they're not afraid to be them. You know, it's like they'll step out on that ledge. And at first it was annoying, but now you're like, okay, we'll see.
Let's give you a hard one here. What do Nebraska socks look like?
Oh, I think this one's easy.
Oh.
I think Nebraska, thanks to Adrian Martinez, it feels like they got a nice pair of like Sperry's or some boat shoes, but you got to get those socks, you know, that you wear with the Sperry's that are not just ankle cut, but they're even lower than that.
The no-shows?
Yeah, the no-show socks. And
so you're calling Nebraska a no-show?
No. But if you pull off the look, you think it's awesome. Like you got the boat shoes and you're not stinking up your new shoes because you still got those no-shows and you're feeling good. But I don't know if everybody else has the same problem I do if I ever wore those. The no-shows will crinkle up and get down in the bottom of your, you know, foot.
There's a margin for error with the no-shows.
And so it can be, and it makes it a bad day then. You're walking around always having to adjust it and get inside your boat shoe and pull it up. And so that's Nebraska right now because you don't know with the interior of the O-line. And so, you know, I think there's a lot of faith that they're going to be good on offense just because of Martinez and Frost. And
yet, but they could be crinkled and bald at the bottom of the
foot.
Yeah, there's
all these question marks at spots where you could say, yeah, that could be a tough day walking around in the boat shoes.
Have you been anywhere wearing your boat shoes and your no-shows and you go and you got to take your shoes off and then you're walking around in the no-show
yeah.
socks?
Yeah, see, that's also a downside.
You got to have
the no-shows.
I mean, it's not always the most comfortable feeling walking around with what looks like ballet shoes on.
Well, I mean, that could be Nebraska at Colorado, for all we know. I mean, they could have to go in someone's house where, like, we'd prefer you take your shoes off and you're walking around like that, and then you got to figure it out.
Illinois?
You couldn't have sounded more surprised.
This is just moderately entertaining.
Going back and forth with teams, and all of a sudden, you just didn't even know that it was going to be your turn.
No.
Illinois doesn't have any socks. They have... Their shoes just kind of smell, but...
Like an old beard that hasn't been washed.
Old beard that just coached a game in the rain.
But they did go out to Target, and they got some spray or whatever, you know, you can put in your shoes. So they're trying to at least cover the stench. And, you know, you can accept that Well, when you look at them, I mean, even though they don't have socks, you could at first glance think maybe they do have like no-show socks, you know, like under there. And then you look closer and you realize they don't have any socks at all. And you're like, these guys are bums, you know.
I don't even know if they went and got spray. I feel like what they've done a little bit is they went and bought some like attempted to be flashy shoes from Payless, but they didn't wear socks with them.
And they're definitely buying all their socks. They're thinking about if they're going to buy socks, they're going to get them in St. Louis. There's no question about that. They're going
to special St. Louis socks.
Yeah, that's the only place they will get their socks if they're going to be purchased.
Well, we've
and Corey Patterson is going to purchase them.
What, we've gone through four teams now? I want to know what Iowa socks look like. If Wisconsin's wearing the wool socks. What does an Iowa sock look like?
Really expensive wool socks.
I think Iowa's wearing gold toe dress socks that you would wear to Sunday church.
A few pairs of those.
Yeah, so do I. I mean, it's dependable, and yeah, you know what you're going to get. You can wear in a Sunday church, but it's a good
fit.
It's now like 3:30 on Sunday afternoon, and you're still in your gold toes. You didn't bother to change out of them, and so you're kind of lounging around with the gold toes. So it works for you, but maybe not everybody else.
You wear them a little too long?
Yeah, and then you kind of wear them out in the bottom, and then you're going to have to get more gold toes for 20 more years. You know, that's basically it.
You got two teams left. Do you know which two?
It's Purdue and who am I forgetting?
Northwestern.
Northwestern.
Well, I did say I think Northwestern is like the 70s two-stripe.
Yeah, he talked
normal. So that one's okay. Done. Sock. So finish up with Purdue. What's Brom and Let's Play Football wearing?
Yeah,
I think Purdue kind of flashy on offense. I'd say they have ankle cut socks, but they have not worked out their calves enough, and so it's like they haven't done the Phil Mickelson calf training. You know, people have followed along.
They're not hitting bombs.
Yeah, they're not hitting bombs. So.
I would say Ohio State would disagree with that.
So Purdue is like, I feel like I wear ankle cut socks a lot, but I'm always like, man, I wish I'd like done some leg work a little bit down there, you know, that in October, November.
So what you're saying at your like 24-hour fitness place is you're doing too much abs, well, too much upper body.
It shows right there.
Not enough legs.
Yeah, yeah. So. I don't know. I feel agree to disagree with the.
I actually think most of these are pretty good.
With the socks, it feels like in some ways they don't change very much with these programs. But I feel really good about Nebraska's. I feel like they are the no-show socks that are cool, that can be cool, but it can be a bad day if you don't figure it out just right.
I'm just thinking of a recent history of Nebraska football and someone saying, I feel good about Nebraska. They are the no-show. No-show.
Yeah, it needs to be taken in complete sock context.
Yeah,
here.
You need the context. Yeah. There's no question. You take any of this out of context.
I don't want you tweeting out anything. Like Brian says Nebraska's a no-show.
No, I will not. I will absolutely not do that. That's Brunson's department, not mine. So
he's already looking for some. Well,
I was gonna get into some Big Ten East stuff, but maybe we'll save that for another time. I know we've got some other things that we want to get to. We're gonna take a quick break, but when we come back, we're gonna talk about Dedrick Mills' academic situation. You get a little bit deeper into Nebraska basketball. They missed out on Jace Johnson. What's next for the Huskers as they continue to assemble a roster? They had a little attrition themselves. And a few more things on the other side.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better.
because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Let's get into Nebraska football, some of the more interesting news of the week. Centers around Nebraska running back signee Dedrick Mills. Been several reports about his academic status. What we basically know at this point is that he needs to have a 2.5 GPA to be able to enroll over at Nebraska from his junior college. He's already graduated, so he's taking extra coursework to get that GPA higher. Everything I had heard, even prior to the reports coming out, is that things were still in a pretty good situation for Nebraska to land Dedrick Mills. He has several classes he has to finish up at this point, and then he will know if he can enroll in May or if he has to take another class or two to be able to do it in the summer. But I think, in all honesty, I know that it seems like everybody's expecting now at this point he's not going to make it or it's going to be borderline. I still think he's in pretty good shape. I still expect that he's going to be on Nebraska's roster, and I expect that he's going to be a big part of their 2019 push.
Yeah, and what? I mean, I don't know exactly what he needs, if he needs a couple A's and a B or whatever, but in situations like that, his attention should be fully on that. And there's people around him who, I mean, people want those guys to succeed. If you've ever, even if you watch a Netflix show about junior college, you know that there's people that want those guys to be success stories and are going to work hard with them to get it done. So I'm with Schaefer. This is never a slam dunk. I mean, even in signing day, if you remember, Scott Frost brought it up on his own. He said, you know, he's got some stuff to handle, is how he put it, but we feel good about it. And I think that's probably the same line today as it was back in February.
Yeah, I haven't gotten the sense that anything's really changed in terms of, you know, Nebraska's unease about the situation. I mean, I remember there had been a couple mentions that maybe he wouldn't even get there till July anyways. So,
well, some of it's set up based on how, you know, if he's able to get there now, it's so he could do the first five-week session.
Right.
If he can't get in the first five-week session, the next one starts in July. Like, people sometimes don't understand that they just can't show up and then they're not in class and, you know, you got to enroll, you're in school. So it's a little bit dictated on Nebraska's summer schedule. But one of the things with these conversations, I think that people should just kind of look back if they can. Like, more often than not, these guys make it in. You know, for every Elijah Blades and Deontay Watts and what other, you know, ones you want to throw at me, there's Mo Berry, Jared Afalava, Maurice Washington last year, who people were convinced just wasn't going to make it. And lo and behold, shows up, qualifies several days before the start of the semester or start of the practice, and then turns out to be a pretty important piece of their 2018 season. So I think that, you know, not saying that people should just have unwavered positivity about the situation, but just because you read something or you heard something somewhere, there's usually a lot more information that isn't known at this point than is, especially when it relates to somebody's academics. But that does bring us into the larger picture, which is this spring we watched Nebraska go through its practices without a real strong indication as to what that running game is going to look like, because you didn't have Ramir Johnson, you didn't have Dedrick Mills, you didn't really have Maurice Washington for much of the spring. What's your level of concern, you know, either with the Maurice Washington academics, the Dedrick Mills academics, or without, about Nebraska's replacement of Divino Zigbo and providing a competent running game around Adrian Martinez in 2019?
Well, it goes up significantly if Mills isn't here, because I've always counted him as a guy who, not only did he have a good JUCO career, but he's done it playing Power 5 football at Georgia Tech. It's not like this is his first taste of it. So I kind of feel like he's a guy where you feel like at least there's proof on film that he can play at this level. And I just think he gives him a different style of back than the other guys. I think there's a little – I have some unease about that position, I'll be honest, because the Maurice Washington thing isn't settled. He's in court next on May 13th, I believe, is the date, and they're picking his lawyer. And so who knows how swiftly that's going to move, but they need to get that tied up so you can make a decision on him by fall camp. And, I mean, that's a dynamic guy we're talking about. So during the spring, it was kind of easy to push Maurice Washington to the side and say, well, that'll get solved in the summer. Well, we're here. And so that's going to be a big deal. I think Ramir Johnson is the wild card who people kind of forgot about a lot during the recruiting class because it was exciting to talk about all these other guys. And now they're suddenly looking like, man, this guy might be a big deal. He might be necessary right away.
Yeah, and I think he was a guy that was going to be a big part of it anyways, but just hasn't gotten a run. And certainly, I mean, I have a little bit of trepidation about the running back group just because, I mean, you saw how that looked in the spring. But, you know, if Mills doesn't get here till July, it's a little bit of concern there. I mean, Maurice Washington, you don't really know what his situation is going to be. I mean, we'll probably get some more clarity on that one after the next court appearance. But, you know, he's, you know, wasn't there for a lot of the spring with the team working out. You kind of wonder what he's going to be able to do this summer. And, I mean, whenever Scott Frost would talk about him, it was, yeah, this guy's, we think he's fantastic. He needs to add 20 pounds. So is he going to have the opportunity to do that over the summer? I mean, that's another cause for concern for me. But, I mean, if you're Ramir Johnson, and I mean, you talked to him recently, Brian, you have to be thinking coming into Nebraska that, you know, you're going to need to be ready to go.
I really like Ramir in the few conversations I've had with him that he sets goals for himself. And I don't think he doesn't feel like he's a guy who boasts about himself a whole lot on social media or anything. He sets individual goals. And like he wants to run under, what is it, 21 in the 200? I mean, that's stinking hard to do. And I don't necessarily think he's going to do it, to be honest.
Is that the first ever stinking hard on the on the podcast?
I liked it.
Stinking
we
hard.
We avoided the explicit my rating family, for this podcast.
My family this says, is a family-friendly podcast.
Well, though. My family doesn't Shuckies. Curse, so they say stink a lot. Like, we say, what the stink? So
things you learn on this podcast.
I'm going to start using what the stink.
Yeah, it kind of catches on with you. My brother used to use that.
There in the press box, you'll see a pass, and Brunson just turned, look at Brian. What the stink was that?
Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to pick it up, but I'll certainly be paying attention for it now.
I will give it to you. But Ramir, I mean, just the fact that he says, I'm going to try to do this in the next month. Like, I like that he's got that type of mindset. And he's not, like, declaring he's going to be the starter or anything. He's just saying, I'm going to show up, I'm going to work hard, and we'll see where it goes, but I'm going to come ready. And I think fans can at least sleep a little easier knowing a guy like that's showing up.
Yeah, no question. I think Ramir's role is going to be bigger in 2019 than I maybe had originally anticipated, though I'd always sort of felt like he wasn't going to be a redshirt guy, whereas, you know, Ronald Tompkins, the one that we don't talk about as much because of his 2 years of basically having to battle back from two different knee injuries, I'd be very curious what state he comes in at.
Yeah.
And that's a guy that worked really hard to put himself in position to earn the offers that he did last summer. He committed to Nebraska in June, had come all the way back from that ACL and ran, I think, a 4-5 at Alabama's camp about a week before he got the offer from Nebraska. And so he's someone that I don't anticipate we're going to see in 2019, but he's certainly a guy that, you know, don't lose sight of Ronald Tompkins, because if he's able to stay healthy, this was someone that could have been in the top, you know, 24/7 in the 2019 class. If we, you know, you're probably not even seeing him at Nebraska, if we're being all honest here. The first injury probably opened the door for him. A second injury certainly cemented he was going to Nebraska. So I think that Ronald Tompkins is someone to at least keep an eye out for when reading practice reports in August.
He's like a guy whose draft stock fell because of an injury, but you get in the fourth or fifth round and you might have just got a giant steal of a guy who is actually like a first or second rounder type pick. Do you think he's I consider that there's like these categories where there's like natural running backs, like I think of Dedrick Mills as a natural running back, and then you've got these versatile like Wandale Robinson. How do you see Tompkins? Do you think he's which category?
I think he's more on the Mills mold, but it's interesting. You talk to Kenyatta Watson or the guys in Georgia about him, and he's someone that could have played different positions. And there was people who felt like he could have played safety or wide receiver. So it seems like he might just be someone that's a really good football player. But you look at his frame and his size, it seems like he's a little bit more, you put some weight on him, he could be pretty nice between the tackles runner for you. That does have that burst when he sees the open field.
One thing about Ramir real quick, the thing he mentioned is I kept asking stuff about his speed, and he said at one point, like, basically I'm more than speed. Like I know his listing isn't that great. Like I think he's 170 or something like that. That's what he's listed at. But he really fashions himself as a physical guy. Now he might find out he's got to do some Reese Washington bulking up to be a Big Ten back when he gets here. But that said, he's not a guy who is afraid to run between the tackles. He wants that to be part of his arsenal.
Yeah. Well, we will certainly get the opportunity to see him, you know, in that South Alabama game. I'd be shocked if Ramir Johnson isn't playing at that point. Who else at running back? Well, we'll find out a little bit later this year, I would imagine. Let's shift gears here to basketball. Nebraska missed out on center Jace Johnson from Utah. 7-footer would have certainly been the kind of player that we haven't seen a lot in Lincoln in recent years in terms of a true center. He's choosing to go to Marquette. He visited Nebraska a couple weekends ago. Brunts, how big of a loss is this for what Fred Hoiberg is putting together?
Well, I mean, it's a loss from the standpoint of you put the effort in to host the guy and bring him in and recruit him and you know, a 7-footer who was top 5 in the Pac-12 last year in rebounding. I mean, it's not a big secret that Nebraska needs depth at the 4 and 5 spot. They have nobody there right now as it stands, or at least certainly a 5 that could you'd feel good about in the Big Ten. Since we last talked to Nebraska basketball, Brady Hyman has put himself in the transfer portal. I'm trying to think what else has happened since then. It seems like every damn day there's something new.
Thor and Harris are staying.
Yes. Also, Nebraska picked up a commitment from Delano, I believe, Banton, a 6'8", 200-pound kid who had been at Western Kentucky, former top 100 prospect. He's going to be sitting out. They didn't host anybody last weekend, which – you know, it was probably an opportunity to reset their board a little bit, see where they're at. But right now, they're going to have on campus Shamil Stevenson, a transfer from Nevada, who transferred to Nevada from Pitt but never played at Nevada. Another guy that's he's Canadian, former four-star type guy, or high three-star, I think. Small forward, 6'6", 230, 40-inch vertical. 7'1" reach, I think. So, or 6'11" reach, excuse me. So that's, you know, I guess more wings that they're looking at. But I mean, just with the, I mean, you're going to see Nebraska going hard in the portal to try to find a center to help them right away. Just because, I mean, as much as you want to play positionless basketball and, you know, play four or five guys out, you got to have somebody that can play defense and rebound in the paint in the Big Ten.
Why is Nebraska continuing to go into the Yukon territories for their basketball players now?
I mean, why not, right? They're available.
Yeah. I'm just wondering if there's some sort of connection there. It's interesting. I can't think of another Canadian basketball player that Nebraska's had. right? Am I missing somebody?
I'm trying to think if there was anybody in the... No, I don't think so.
Yeah. Well, that was scintillating.
That's great rated.
That whole Blame Canada song from South Park cast Canada in a bad light for a while, so they steered clear.
They're like, I think we can go back in there now, guys.
It's okay.
We're cool.
Enough time has passed. But obviously the transfer portal has high ceilings.
Yeah.
We're learning that with basketball.
Yeah. No, and it's... I mean, this is basically what you have to do and what the recipe for success is for Nebraska on the recruiting trail is you sort through those 600 some odd names that are in the portal and try and pull somebody out that can help you right away. I mean, I think there's more value in doing that than there is going in and trying to find somebody like at the junior college level. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if you see another official visitor pop up this weekend as well, probably a big, but you know, you get Stevenson in. I think Nebraska would have three scholarships left. Yep. You have to do the math. And, you know, I still see people asking about Isaiah Roby and if he's coming back. He worked out for the Timberwolves yesterday. I believe he's with the Bucks today.
Just do the Damian Lillard wave to Isaiah Roby.
Yeah, I mean,
that would be my advice.
I think that's where we're headed, so...
Yeah, James Palmer was invited to the G League camp as well, where if he performs, he can get an invite to the combine. So I think that's somewhat notable. As I still think that there's a small chance he'd be drafted late in the second round as a intriguing guy. His 6'11 wingspan has been brought up a ton. I feel like every time he gets mentioned in any report, that's what gets mentioned with James Palmer.
Tell you what, though. Going over to Europe and making a few hundred thousand tax-free and getting your living arrangements paid for in a card isn't a bad way to live either.
Joining the rest of the Europeans with their disdain of Britain.
Like yes.
Brian.
That's just the vibe I got when I was out there in Switzerland.
Would you go play professional basketball in Switzerland if given the opportunity?
Oh, in a second. I'd say goodbye, fellas.
No, you did turn down an opportunity to play for FC Basel, I remember, after your...
I did just raise my hoop in my driveway to 10 feet, too. So if you don't think I still have some aspirations. I'm getting 500 up a day, as a matter of fact.
Wow. Yes.
I really want to get a text from you at like 11 o'clock on a Wednesday night in the summer that... Hey, you guys want to come over and hoop?
You got lights?
I'm just going to have a picture of me like out with like a light on my hoop, and I'm be like, I'm going to send a text like sleeping. I'm not, and you're gonna know you got to grind a little harder.
Hashtag grind season.
Grind harder.
Hashtag greatness never sleeps. Yeah. Well, I can't think of anything.
Did you see Dame like making those long threes, and you're like, wait a second, I got a basketball hoop,
but it's only 7.5 feet. That was a bear to get up to 10, too. It wasn't one of those self-adjust ones. Oh. You got to, like, unscrew it. It was hard.
Oh. I was like, you just couldn't take a broomstick.
Nope. No, not on this one. This is old school.
When you had it at 7.5, though, did you, like, check or see if anybody was looking and just go and throw down a dunk?
I dunked on it a couple of times.
Windmill?
You worry about those neighborhood kids being hot shots and, you know, hanging on your rim. And I just didn't want that.
How old are you?
38.
All right. Well, next week we'll find out if any neighborhood kids found a ladder and then we're dunking on Brian's now 10-foot hoop. Maybe Brian and I will discuss the Big Ten East. Maybe you'll have some sock thoughts on what's happening in the other side of the division. We will be without Michael Bruntz for a little while as he's taking a siesta. And
that means nap.
I mean,
it's a long ass nap.
Isn't it also? It doesn't mean just nap. Like, there's multiple meanings to that, right?
I meant a nap, but
I've got to look this up. I'm not going to end the show just on that, though. It's not looking good for me right now. All right. Well, it looks like I was wrong. Bruntz was right, and we won't have to hear from him for a while. That's going to be his reward for getting that correct. But as always, check out the website, Husker247.com. Plenty of stuff up. Brian's been contacting some 2019 signees. Got good stories on Ramir Johnson, Matthew Anderson. We've caught up with a few of Nebraska's recent offers. You know,
There's a lot of them.
I was just waiting if you had anything to say there.
There's a lot of them.
We've caught up with some of those. Bruns will have some baseball stuff. Nebraska's trying to make the Big Ten baseball tournament, where it looks like they're safe.
They're safe.
And they're trying to make the NCAA regional. So we'll have all of that this week as well. They play Arizona State for three starting on Friday. We'll catch you next week.